Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Harley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to this edition. We'd love to welcome you into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible passage you can't understand, maybe something going on, a life issue giving you problems, well, we'd like to discuss it with you. Give us a call at 844-322-2742 because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have plenty of open lines right now, so jump in early. Again, the number is 844-322-2742. We're making the case for grace this month on Basic Gospel, and we would love for you to chime in and tell us your story of grace, how the gospel made the case for grace in your life. So we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Andrew Farley is with us. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Andrew, we're kind of making our way through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 and just looking at some of the nuggets of truth and goodness in those passages. And I thought we'd look at chapter 5, verse 17 today. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So for us to reign in life, we have to receive some gifts, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I love this passage. I mean, how powerful and comprehensive it is. I mean, first, the abundance of grace. So you can imagine this gigantic amount of grace in your life. There's a grace in front of you, grace on your left and your right, grace behind you, taking care of your past, the grace out in front, taking care of your future. There's grace beneath you, bolstering and supporting you. I mean, there's so much grace, it'll never run out. And then somebody says, okay, well, then let's go sin. And you say, well, hang on, let's keep reading about this second part. It's not just grace everywhere. It's not just forgiveness to the max. It is also the gift of righteousness. In other words, you have been imparted. You are now a sharer, a partaker in the righteousness of Jesus. So he poured out his love in your heart. He poured out his righteousness in your heart. He poured out his life into your heart. And you are new at the core. So, you know, what we're seeing is basically like two sides to this coin. We've got this incredible amount of grace on one side, and then we've got this righteousness, a new nature, a new heart, a new spirit, God's spirit. We're born of him. You put those two together, guys, an incredible amount of grace that never runs out, and a brand new identity as a righteous child of God. You put those together, the whole gospel makes sense. But the bottom line is, I mean, we live in a world where we're not teaching both aspects of the gospel. People are scared of grace, too much grace, watch out for grace. Well, this verse really shows us the balance about the truth of the gospel, that when you put grace and righteousness together in Jesus, you are always going to find your balance in him. There's never going to be fear about what might happen because Jesus and his life in you will never lead you into sin. He is always counseling you and guiding you into the truth of the gospel and showing you a new and better way to live.
Yes, indeed. And I love this phrase, Andrew, where that he ends on, that we will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Under in Adam, death reigned in us, but now we get to reign in life because of these gifts of grace and righteousness. And that really speaks to what you were talking about, that this lifts us out of the old and places us in something brand new, as Paul is going to tell us in chapter 6. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the reigning in life here and now. I know a lot of people will look at this passage and think, well, that's in the by and by. That's after we die and go to be with heaven. That's when we're going to reign in life. But this has a here and now component to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, in fact, it doesn't say someday you hope to reign in life or someday you will reign in life in heaven. No, this is saying this has already happened. So someone out there who's going, well, you know, my life, I don't know. I mean, I go to church a couple times a month when I can make it in the doors on a Sunday morning. I read my Bible, you know, maybe a couple times a month. I don't read it a lot. I'm not an expert in theology. I'm not a preacher type person. I'm not a missionary to Africa. I don't know about this reigning in life thing. Well, you know, Paul's not saying you might reign in life or you could reign in life. This is a statement of fact, okay? Were you dead? Yes, you were dead. Were you in Adam? Yes, you were in Adam. You didn't have to try to be dead. You didn't have to try to be in Adam. That is just a statement of fact. Before you met Jesus, those things were true of you. Well, what's true of you now? Now you're not in Adam, you're in Christ. Now you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. Now you're not dead, you're alive. So this statement of fact is true of you, friend. I mean, you know, God didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is perfect church attendance. God didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is a theological expertise. No, the fruit of the Spirit is what God is doing in your life every day, every moment, that love and that joy and that patience. What I'm saying is look for Jesus in the everyday. Look for Jesus living his life through you. That's the reigning life here and now.
Wow. Great stuff, guys. Thank you. The good stuff as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. And friends, we're glad you're with us. We'd love to have you come into the studio right now at 844-322-2742 and pose your question to Bob and Andrew on this edition. My name is Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you again, 844-322-2742. And guys, something very special for our listeners going on between now and Sunday, December 13th, which happens to be this very coming Sunday. Friends, you can save 25% on your total purchase from the Basic Gospel store and get free shipping. Now, this is a great time to pick up some gifts, some stocking stuffers with eternal impact. CDs, DVDs, books, study guides, everything is there for you, and everything is 25% off now through Sunday. All you need to do is visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net and choose your products. Your discount will be automatically applied at checkout. And Bob, I think that's a good deal.
That's a good deal indeed, and a great way to share the good news by giving gifts here at Christmas time of resources, books, and those sort of things that can help share that message. But while you're at the store, consider giving a donation to Basic Gospel as well. This is the season of giving, and certainly we need your help to meet our year-end target. And that target was $220,000 when we started the month. We've whittled that down, but we certainly need your help. So if you could make a generous gift to Basic Gospel, we would greatly appreciate it. And our gift back to you is this new CD series, Making the Case for Grace.
Making the Case for Grace by Bob Christopher. All you need to do to find that is go to basicgospel.net/YouTube. And all that is there. There are just so many videos there that Bob has produced. We hope you'll go there and take advantage of that. Well, once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, but let's go to the phones right now.
My name is Barbara, and I just want to say that your program is a blessing. I'm sitting here listening to it today, and God bless you. God bless you, and thank you for your blessings on us that listen to you. Thank
wow.
you.
Very nice.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for those kind words, that encouragement, Andrew and Bob, and for our whole ministry team. Boy, we need that encouragement, don't we?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You know, it's something we never take for granted. We are human people relying on the Lord every day, just like Barbara. So to hear from you that, hey, God is using Basic Gospel in your life, that is a tremendous boost. It's really a shot of encouragement for us. And, you know, Bob, I guess we never get tired of hearing about people's lives being transformed by Jesus. It never gets old.
No, it doesn't. And so, Barbara, thank you so much for that encouragement. We appreciate it. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. And we're just grateful that you're a part of ours through this broadcast that we know of as Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, another call that came in.
Hi, my name is Karen, and I have a bunch of questions. But the one question that that keeps coming up for me is, how come in the Bible that Satan's name is capitalized? because I capitalize God's name and Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit's name, but I don't capitalize Satan's name. So I was wondering why we did that, or why it's like that in the Bible. Thank you guys for being on the air, because it's basic and simple, and I appreciate that. Bye.
Thanks, well, Karen. Thank you for that, Karen. We appreciate that as well, and that's what we aim to do, to try to just deliver the message in the clearest, most simplest way that we possibly can. And I think God's made it that way for us, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, I think you look at this example of her question. I mean, Karen's question is about the name of Satan. That means adversary. That's what Satan means. I don't think we're esteeming him in the slightest by capitalizing his name. I mean, it's a proper noun, if you will. If you know your grammar, then the publishers of the Bible have decided to capitalize Satan's name here. But Satan is clearly identified as adversary. That is literally what he's called here. And throughout the Bible, he's also called the devil, and devil in and of itself, that word means an accuser. And Revelation says he accuses us day and night. So he loves to bring slanderous accusations against believers. That's what he's known for. He's also, throughout the New Testament and the Old, for that matter, seen as a tempter. And you know, he's got this title, the Prince of the Power of the Air, and he's God of this age, lowercase g. So we see him as someone who is active, someone who is certainly at work in the fallen world, but at no time does the Bible in any way esteem him. Quite the opposite. He's an enemy who's thrown down. Jesus uses him as a footstool. We give far too much attention, I believe, to the enemy, and we ought to be really fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. And what we find is the truth about the enemy is that he's not able to touch us. I mean, 1 John says the evil one cannot touch you, and that is the truth that's going to set us free every day. So yeah, you know, the enemy has to have a name, and that name means adversary or devil or accuser. And so what? You know, we have to identify who he is, but then we just turn our attention, guys, right back to Jesus and all he's done for us.
Yes, indeed. Andrew, let's talk just a little bit, because I think this is a very important topic, not necessarily the question about the capitalization of the name, a lot of times people have this idea that Satan's on one side, Jesus is on the other, and they're battling it out. And, you know, we're all wringing our hands wondering who in the world is going to win that.
Right.
And we think Satan has as much power as Jesus does. Well, the reality is there's no contest. I mean, at the end, we just see Jesus opening his mouth, and Satan and all the armies that he has gathered, they're done with. I mean, there's no battle. So talk to us a little bit about the fact that Jesus is all powerful, and Satan is just a wannabe as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible says this in a dozen ways. I mean, Colossians 2 says that Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities of this age. And Hebrews chapter 2 says that Jesus took part in flesh and blood in order to destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So time and time again, we're going to see that God is victorious and that Satan is nothing more than a fallen angel. I mean, just think about that. God created thousands and thousands of angels, and Satan was only one of those, and now he's fallen at that. So we're talking about a created being in a fallen state, and certainly it is not a 50-50 shot for you and me as we wake up every day and live life. Look, you're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. You're born from above, born again, a new heart, Christ living in you, blessed with every spiritual blessing, sealed by the Holy Spirit. We got to see that we're on the best team by far. I mean, I don't know about you, but growing up in school, I always wanted to be picked for a good team. I wanted to win. Well, in Christ, we've already been picked for the best team. We are on God's team. The Trinity is with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're sealed until the day of redemption. The evil one cannot touch us. And that's what we need to see about the truth concerning Jesus. Again, he disarmed the rulers. He has power over death and power over the devil. Really, the enemy is no match for Jesus and no match for the incredible victory we've already been given.
Yes, indeed. And here's the great news. He's directed that power. Jesus has directed that power toward us in his grace and mercy. And he has raised us to life, raised us to walk in the newness of life. And then he has filled us with that power. We have the power of resurrection living in us. Why? Because we have Jesus living in us. That's what enables us to reign in life, to be overcomers in this world in which we live. So this is a really good question, Karen. I don't know that you really wanted us to go into all of this detail, but I think it's something very important for us as believers to know that in Christ, he won the victory, and because we're in him, we are victorious. So thank you so much for that call. That will open up a line at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're going to go out to California and talk to Lindy, who actually called yesterday, and we want to get to her today. Hi, Lindy.
Hey, Lindy. Hello, Lindy.
Lindy, you're on the air. Well, we're going to put her on hold. But her question, Andrew, was about how to find the will of God. And certainly that is a topic that many people are interested in. Oftentimes we think of the will of God as like that proverbial needle in a haystack. It's hard to find it. But that's not the case at all when you read the Word of God, is it?
Right. I mean, a quick survey of the Bible, what it says about the will of the Lord, the will of God. We find things like give thanks in all circumstances, pray without ceasing. This type of thing is God's will for you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. Even the previous chapter, it's God's will that you should be sanctified or avoid sexual immorality or be set apart in your behavior and your attitudes. So what we're going to find again and again is that God's will is Jesus. God's will is spiritual growth in your life. God's will is the renewing of your mind. I used to think, and I was taught as a young person, that God's will was really hard to get into, and then after you get into it, it's really hard to stay in it because you might fall out of God's will. And then, you know, I was taught that there's a perfect will and a permissive will, and then I don't know what the third category would be, maybe some sort of outer ring of darkness or something, but you imagine yourself falling out of his perfect will and then falling out of his permissive will, and then, oops, now what's going to become of me? And that sort of thing paralyzes a Christian. We need to see what the New Testament actually says. Here's what it says. That God's will is Jesus. God's will is that you bear much fruit. The mystery of God's will is that salvation come to the Gentiles and the Jews. So no matter how you phrase it, guys, God's will is salvation. God's will is growth. God's will is fruit bearing. God's will is that we give thanks. God's will is that we talk to Dad without ceasing, that we be real with him. So God's will is basically the gospel of Jesus Christ worked out in our lives. And I love that because that can happen in San Antonio or Pittsburgh or Montana or anywhere else. We freeze up about what state, where to live, what job, what house, what spouse. Got to make sure I choose perfectly. If we're not careful, we end up with a decision-based righteousness. Now, hear me on this. I know that we believe we're saved by grace through faith, but if we're not careful, 1 week or 1 year or one decade later, we have accidentally bought into the idea that we get right and stay right with God through all the right choosings, through all the right choices, and that we fall in and fall out of God's good graces by the choices we make. We got to be careful and remember God's will is Jesus. You are always in Jesus. You're never going to fall out. And that is the truth that'll set us free.
Yes, indeed. And we even talk about it in terms of this new covenant. That was God's will for us to be, you know, indwelt by the Spirit of God, to have our sins forgiven and remembered no more, to know God the Father personally and intimately, and to be assured of our place among the people of God. That's the will of God for us that was, as you said, carried out in Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to find the will of God, in Him and in Him alone.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, for that. And, Lindy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Tim wants to know, as a child of God under the new covenant, what is the truth about giving? How much, how often, and to whom?
Well, guys, this one is so easy and straightforward. You look at three or four instances of the word tithe in the New Testament, and you discover, wait a minute, Jesus is chewing out Pharisees about that issue. That's a law-based issue. That's hypocrisy under the law that they were engaged in. But then He dies, He resurrects, He puts us under a brand new covenant, and that means there's a brand new way to give. It's not about hitting a benchmark. It's not about making sure to give a certain number. Instead, Paul tells the Corinthians, give freely from the heart, not under compulsion. He says, not reluctantly either. We don't want to just sit on our wallets and say, grace, 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 who cares about anything? But we are motivated and animated in an atmosphere of freedom. We really get to give from the heart. We don't have to hit a certain number. We get to be led by the Spirit of Christ Jesus Himself. So whether you decide to give 12% or 2% or 8%, it's all up to you. There's no rules. Instead, it's about letting Jesus Christ rule in our hearts.
Yes, indeed. And that really gets back to this new covenant, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that's where we live. We live in this new covenant. The old covenant was established between God and the people of Israel, and there was a certain group of people, the Levites, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he was his family line, bloodline was set aside as the priesthood, and they needed to be supported. And tithing was the way that the people of Israel would support the priesthood and the religious rituals and the sacrificial system. But that covenant came to an end at the cross 2,000 years ago, and now we live in a new covenant. And in this new covenant, as Andrew was saying, we are encouraged to excel in the grace of giving. That's the tie that we really need to make here, that we live in the new covenant today, and everything's new in this new covenant. It is led by the Spirit in everything that we do. That includes our giving.
Our giving, and it includes our very lives.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Guys, great input today. We hope the listeners are being edified by what they've heard. And friends, every day, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Central Time, we hope you'll join us on YouTube or Facebook as we stream live video of this program. You'll find easy-to-use links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Just click your favorite, Facebook or YouTube, just before the top of the hour 3, and you'll automatically join the live stream. And by the way, that's a great way to get a live question to us. As you view, just post it there in the chat box, and we'll get to it right away. Well, again, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. As we close today, we invite you to visit the Basic Gospel store and find gifts and stocking stuffers that can carry eternal value. Between now and this Sunday, you'll get a 25% discount on your total purchase. So it's a great time to find small gifts with great value for those who are on your particular Christmas list. Just visit store.basicgospel.net and choose your products. Your discount will be automatically applied at checkout. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. And again, thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month with your prayers and with your gifts to keep this good news on the air and online. To help today, just click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your December gift, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's new CD series, How to Live in Uncertain Times. That's donate at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of that, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, and with great thanks to our brother and friend Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.